It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome aboard. I am at the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show this weekend in Portland, Oregon. It's a really big event. Hundreds of exhibitors, lots of boats, lots of RVs, lots of things to see. Great seminars, too. And I hope if you live anywhere in the Pacific Northwest, you will join us there. If you want to, go to thesportshows.com, buy your tickets online. That's the only way you can buy your tickets, and they're time tickets, too. That website, thesportshows.com. Once you're in the show, be sure to go to our booth. We're at 1324 in the main show hall. And ask for some of the swag we're giving away from Camp Chef. Get some of the other things we've got from our sponsors. And be sure to enter for a free chance to win a 22 caliber Henry Golden Boy lever action rifle. There's going to be a text number on a banner there, and all you have to do is just enter that text number and you've got a chance to win. Now, I know a lot of you today are listening from places like New Mexico and Texas and Tennessee and Virginia, and there's no way you're going to make it out to Portland, Oregon this weekend. So you know what? I want you to have a chance to win too. So here's the number to text if you want the chance to win. It is 33777. That number again, 33777. Just text the word Henry to that number, 33777, and they're going to text you back with a couple of questions. They're going to ask you what your email is so they can contact you. They're going to ask you if you're eligible to possess a firearm. And after that, you're entered for a chance to win, and one person is going to win this beautiful Henry Golden Boy lever action rifle at the end of the weekend. And it just might be you. Again, text Henry to 33777 for your chance to win. This week on the show, since we are on the road, we're bringing you some of our favorite interviews from 2020, but I think you're going to find all of them timeless. And I hope you're hungry, because we've got not one, but two chefs specializing in fish and game joining us today. One of them is Randy King, also known as the Chef in the Wild. He's going to be sharing a great recipe for trout and crappie in just a minute. The other chef, that would be that very well-known wild game chef and television host, Scott Laseth. We recorded a piece with him last year during the height of the pandemic about a wild brunch for Mother's Day. And although our social situation is not as dire as it was last spring, the meal still sounds fabulous. And Scott's going to share the details about how to make it for your mother or your family towards the end of our program today. We mentioned last week that we've got a new affiliate, KENN 92.1 FM and 1390 AM out of Farmington, New Mexico. And with New Mexico in mind, we'll once again share a story from T. Edward Nickens. He wrote a story called The Outer Limits for Field and Stream magazine about a duck hunting trip to the state known as the Land of Enchantment, but not a state that's very well known for duck hunting at all. On top of this, I've got to trout out one of my favorite interviews of the year. That would be a conversation with Brian Hendricks. He's the outdoors columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he'll be making the case for Arkansas to be considered the outdoors capital of the entire world. Now that is a bold, bold claim, and I think you'll be interested to see what kind of case Brian's going to make about why the natural state towers above every other state when it comes to being a destination for hunting, fishing, and more. Put it all together, and I think you're really going to enjoy this show. So let's get it started by making you a little hungry. Up next on America Outdoors Radio, I know a lot of you have been fishing for two different species across America this week. Some of you have been fishing for crappie, always a lot of fun to catch them. And a lot of you have been fishing for trout, especially rainbow trout, which you can find in, well, I'd say all 50 of our United States right now. But what do you do once you catch them and clean them? How do you cook them? If you're like me, you've got some recipes, but you might be looking to improve those recipes or improve the taste of what you're catching. That's why we've got Randy King on the line. He is the chef in the wild. He calls Boise, Idaho home, and his articles have appeared in Outdoor Life and Traditional Bowhunter magazine. He's a longtime columnist for Northwest Sportsman magazine, and he's the author of a great book that I've enjoyed called Chef in the Wild. Randy, great to have you back on the air.
Always a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk springtime fishing. Let's talk springtime cooking. I want to start off with that favorite fish for many, the crappie. And I was on your website, saw this absolutely killer recipe at chefrandyking.com involving fried crappie and what looks to be a very sweet tasting salsa.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's fun because salsas kind of have components to them. So it's kind of a heat, kind of a tang, and I like a little bit of sweet. And so you get there with several different things. So this salsa on there is just a pretty simple combination, really, of the oil and the vinegar and a little salt, pepper, jalapenos. And then if I remember it correctly, it's the orange one, and that kind of provides this really cool kind of contrast with the fish, because the fish is this white, flaky, kind of tender stuff, and then the orange segments, when you cut them out right, kind of provide this pop and this tanginess and a little bit of jalapenos and a little bit of vinegar in there. It's really like a crappie ceviche kind of flavor is what you end up getting when you fry those things up.
But wait, there's more. There's not just orange. It's the orange pineapple salsa. So you even get more of a sensation.
So the orange and the pineapple on there really makes a combination. Kind of just bright and pop out. But the crappie, I find, if you get them, try not to freeze them with the skin on, if you can. Just fillet them out, and I think it's probably one of the best preparation methods for them. Then you skin them out, and when you fry them, it's got to be fast and hot. You want that. They're so thin that they're going to cook, you know, in 30 seconds usually in a hot fryer. But if you sit there with a kind of a cold fryer, you know, not quite hot enough, they're going to get really limp and weird and kind of gross. So what I find is a nice hot fryer, get them going and get them crispy, and then get that salsa on there and then eat it immediately. So you get that nice combination of cold, hot, and the flavors kind of mixing together. And I find it really super delicious.
Oh, it sounds absolutely super delicious. Makes me want to go out and catch a mess of crappie right now just to try it out. However, what I'm going to find in my closest lakes are stocked rainbow trout, and that's what a lot of folks are catching. Now, a lot of us know how to pan fry a trout, and that's probably one of the most traditional ways to cook a rainbow or brown trout or cutthroat trout or brook trout, whatever trout you're catching. But do you have some ideas to kind of, I don't know, liven up this presentation?
I do. And so it involves cooking them while you're there, because in my opinion, a trout is best cooked out of the river on the bank right there, right? So you get them home, and especially stocked rainbow trouts, they aren't fighters, right?
No.
They've been kind of bred on pellets. You know, they don't have that same chutzpah, I'd say, as a native born. So what I like to do with those, if I'm catching them out of a creek, is if I have the opportunity for a little grill or a little fire, got them right there on the bank, throw the guts away, right? And then there's a couple of things that I'll look for. I'll look for dandelions growing along, right? So I'll grab the dandelion greens, and then I'll look for wild onions as well. And then I dig out the famous mustard packets from the center console of my truck.
Okay.
So a little salt, pepper, a little mustard packets, a little bit of tin foil, wrap those things up, build a little bit of fire, and toss them in with the dandelions and the wild onions. And it makes this, it's like French bistro food by a river. It's a very classic combination of doing dandelion greens, mustard, and trout. It's very, very, very classic. So if you can do that in a little bit of tinfoil while you're fishing with your buddies, it's impressive and delicious. So I really enjoy doing that with my trout.
Oh, and you know, this is the perfect recipe as well if you're hiking into the backcountry and you're camping overnight to cook in your campfire. Absolutely love this idea. Folks, we've got to go, unfortunately, because I'm, again, salivating at the thought of all this great food. But if you want to find out more about that fried crappie with orange pineapple salsa recipe or get other ideas for how to cook fish and wild game, go to Randy King's website. It's chefrandyking.com. That's the website to go to, chefrandyking.com. And you can find his book, a great book, by the way, Chef in the Wild, at amazon.com. Randy, thanks for sharing these delicious recipes with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand public access to the outdoors. Our outdoor heritage depends on sportsmen and women like you speaking up for the natural resources that sustain our way of life. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org and become a BHA member today.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to six of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got a great guest for you, and he is one of the editors at large for Field & Stream magazine. His name, T. Edward Nickens, also known as Eddie Nickens. He's got a great story in the On the Road edition of Field & Stream that's on the newsstands now, called The Outer Limits. It's a story about a duck hunting road trip to a very unlikely state with a close friend. Eddie, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, Eddie, it's great to hear your voice again. It's been far too long. I love this article, but I'll tell you what, New Mexico is one of the most unlikely duck hunting destinations for a road trip. I was actually talking to someone who wrote for Realtree and listed New Mexico as one of the worst states in the nation for duck hunting, at least in the Central Flyway, because, you know, I think they harvested less than 38,000 ducks there in 2018. Why did you decide to go to New Mexico for a duck hunting expedition?
Well, it's funny, because I guess one of the reasons that we went to New Mexico was for all of the reasons that you just outlined. You know, it is off the beaten path for waterfowlers, no question about it, John. But the other reason was I wanted to hunt with my buddy James Powell, who is National Director of Communications for DU. But James and I have been good friends for a long time. And James actually grew up in that region in New Mexico and learned to love to duck hunt in the middle of this desert environment. He and I have been talking about this for several years, sort of retracing the refuges and the wet spots that he used to duck hunt as a kid with his dad and his stepdad. So altogether, it just made for an unusual take. We rolled the dice. We lost the game on some perspectives in terms of number of birds, but we just had an incredible trip. I think it turned out, really happy with the way the story turned out to be about a whole lot more than what's in the bag.
I agree. And folks, this really is a great read of a story. I've got to admit, if you are going to go to a place like New Mexico, James Powell, with his background in New Mexico as a waterfowl biologist, is probably the guy to go with, especially since he's so well connected with Ducks Unlimited. So that's your partner in crime. You head to New Mexico. Where did you go hunting exactly in New Mexico? You actually went to three different places, didn't you?
Yeah, we sort of bounced around that Roswell, Truth of Consequences
area, stopping at some refuges along the way, some state parks, some national wildlife refuges. You know, there's two big river systems down there, John, the Rio Grande and the Pecos. And they include these huge wetland watershed areas. You know, you think of ducks flying down south, they're going to fly as far as they can go. Well, for a lot of these ducks, this is sort of the end of the road. You've got these big rivers, you've got these big marshes that back up to the big desert mountains, and that's it. So they sort of stay there and stack up there and bop between these refuges, Bosque del Apache National Wildlife Refuge, some refuges, Bitter Lakes over near Roswell. So we sort of did that same kind of thing. We bopped between some state park refuges, some national wildlife refuges, and tried to pin these birds down.
You know, one thing besides the hunting was the road trip itself. And you got to take in some interesting views and some interesting places. I mean, Roswell, it goes without saying, is of great interest if you're into UFO conspiracy theories. But what were some of the other places in New Mexico outside of the duck hunting experience that got your attention along the way?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, we're in the Southwest and there's great food there. We had a couple of great meals at a place called the Owl Cafe, which is this hole-in-the-wall kind of burger, beer, biker joint that gets rave reviews from road trippers. That was an awesome spot. You know, you mentioned the Roswell and the UFOs. A super cool thing that happened was James, his father's best friend, still works as an executive at the International UFO Museum there in Roswell. So we got inside, by you know, behind the scenes, you know, draw back the curtain look at the Roswell Museum, which was just awesome. And that whole scene of everything going on there in Roswell with the aliens and spaceships, and it was super cool. You know, but there's so many great things about a road trip. You know, you just find these little off the wall places and something catches your eye. You know, we went to the Smokey the Bear National Monument, I believe it was. I mean, this is where the Smokey the Bear,
right,
was found, was rescued, and was taken back and buried when he passed away. And what a cool little thing right there to see. Some great old shootout historic sites with gunslingers, and it was great. I mean, it's tough when you're duck hunting because, you know, duck hunting, especially do-it-yourself road trip duck hunting, is very time intensive. You're hunting, you're scouting, you're driving from spot to spot. But we did try to take as much time as we can and pull off the road and see all these cool satellites that that New Mexico has to offer.
You know, your first trip that you talk about in this article was with a guide. It went pretty well. And after that, you were on DIY mode. And one thing that caught my eye was the limitations of using Google Maps for scouting didn't quite translate like you thought it was going to when you got on the ground, did you?
You know, and part of that is that arid desert environment. But it is kind of funny. You know, I sit here in my office in North Carolina and pull up OnX and pull up Google Maps and go, oh, you know, that looks like a great spot. I think we can get there here. We could take this trail and pick up this creek. We can walk into this cattail swamp. And then 1,800 miles away at 3 o'clock in the morning, you just ask yourself, what on earth was I thinking? we had a few moments where we were just totally befuddled as to where we were, where the water was, where it was supposed to be. But that's part of the fun of it. You know, you just kind of get after it and stay after it. And just like with duck hunting everywhere and duck hunting anywhere, you know, the harder you go, the better your chances of success.
This is true. Last question. What's your best memory from this trip?
You know, I think it was this moment that had nothing to do with duck hunting. It was this moment where James and his father's best friend were parting in Roswell. They hadn't seen each other in years. Who knows when or if they'd ever see each other again. And they had this just connection that transcended duck hunting. It transcended time. It transcended the fact that we were so far from home. And to think that the pursuit of waterfowl opens the door to these kinds of connections, to me, was just a very special thing. It was very special to be there with James as he was traveling sort of the road of his childhood, and to see him to make these connections, and all because we're chasing a duck. To me, that was that was really meaningful.
That's a great way to end this, folks. You've got to read this story. Again, it's called The Outer Limits. You'll find it in the current edition of Field & Stream, which is full of great stories about wild friendships and road trips like the one you just heard about. I'll leave it to you to read the story and find out exactly how the hunting went. That is worth a read in and of itself. But in the meantime, Eddie, thank you so much for the time. Thanks so much for sharing this road trip with us on America Outdoors Radio.
Always a pleasure, John. Appreciate the call, buddy.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. Our next stop is Little Rock, Arkansas, home of our affiliate, News Radio 102.9 KARN, and also the area that Brian Hendricks lives in. Brian is the outdoor editor for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he just made a very bold claim in a recent column that Arkansas, known as the natural state, should be the outdoors capital of the world. Brian, welcome aboard.
Hey, John Cruz. Long time no talk there.
It has been entirely too long, but if you're going to print a column like that and make a claim that Arkansas should be the outdoors capital of the world, I'll tell you what, there are listeners in Idaho that would beg to differ. We've got listeners in Montana and Wyoming that would beg to differ, not to mention Louisiana, the sportsman's paradise, and a few other states too.
Give me a break.
All right, make your case. I want you to make your case as to why Arkansas should be the outdoors capital of the world, besides the fact that Arkansas is known as a natural state. And we'll take it piece by piece. We'll start off with hunting. What does Arkansas have hunting-wise that nobody else has?
Well, we have been for ages, for many decades. You know, Stuttgart, Arkansas has been the world's duck hunting capital. And we start that off every November on Thanksgiving weekend with the World Championship Duck Calling Contest. It draws duck callers from all over the world, including a great many states in the U.S. So that's a big deal. And then if you go up north to the White River, the Norfolk River, you can check the World Line Class records from the IGFA and the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. The North Fork of the White River and the White River together probably produce more line class records than any other stretch of water in the world, including several all-tackle world records for brown trout. So that's pretty well established.
All right. Well, hold on. Before we get too much into fishing, I will give you that, especially with Stuttgart, that Arkansas is at least the duck hunting capital of the world. But what about other hunting? I mean, there's lots of other things to hunt in these great United States of ours.
Well, hey, man, we got great squirrel hunting down here, you know. Now, from a deer hunting standpoint, you know, a couple of years ago, I believe it was Field & Stream, identified Arkansas as a sleeper hotspot for whitetails, and they weren't wrong about that. Jacob Aycock was the guy's name, and I think it was in 2017. killed a whitetail in southeast Arkansas that was, I believe, the fifth largest. So somebody will have to back me up on the details, because I don't have that in front of me. But the fifth largest North American typical taken, and the third largest outside of Texas, I think. So it broke a record that stood since 1976, and we all thought, well, that'll never fall. Well, it did fall 2 years later.
Wow.
To another guy in northeast Arkansas that beat that one by a pretty good margin. So we've got that, you know, deer hunting, and we've got a lot of public land deer, too. Those both were taken on private property, but we have had Boone and Crockett class bucks taken on public land here, too, as evidenced by, you know, multiple winners in the Arkansas Big Buck Classic every January, which is, I think, next to the Dixie Deer Classic, may be the second largest deer expo in the United States. COVID may put that in jeopardy. But, all right, so you got deer, you got duck. We have world-class black bear hunting here, which is kind of something that is kept quiet.
Right.
We have public land elk hunting, if you're fortunate to draw a once-in-a-lifetime tag up on the Buffalo National River. We have fantastic bulls up there. And if you don't draw a tag, you can hook up with a landowner, and he'll sell you a private land tag, so you get a chance that way, too.
And as you mentioned, Bentonville, at least in the past, has been known as the place to go for the annual, what is it, World Championship Squirrel Cook-Off that Joe Wilson used to put on?
Yeah, and Bentonville, it's another interesting story. It's kind of a non-consumptive thing with a consumptive angle on it. But, you know, that's the home of Walmart, and that has a whole different kind of population base than what the rest of the state has. And they've been branding themselves with a lot of success. They're trying to make Bentonville and that corner of northwest Arkansas into a world's adventure cycling destination.
You know,
really? People come from all over the country. Yeah, they come from all over the place to ride the extreme mountain biking trails around there. But another thing that they do is that the Ozark National Forest is close by. And so there you've got world-class smallmouth bass fishing all over the place in the Kings River and the Buffalo National River and the Mulberry River. And so people will come in to Bentonville Airport, and they will rent a charter who will put their kayaks and their mountain bikes and all their stuff on a helicopter or a small aircraft. And they've, you know, leased these little bitty small rural airfields from landowners, and they will take you anywhere you want to go in the Ozark National Forest. They'll drop you off for 3 to 5 days, and they'll pick you up, take you back.
You know, you hear about this in Canada and Alaska. I'd never heard of this in Arkansas before. This sounds like a great adventure. Speaking of bass fishing, I guess we ought to mention the Arkansas River. I know the big bass bonanza didn't happen this year because of COVID, but you've got some great smallmouth bass fishing throughout the state, don't you?
Smallmouth bass fishing throughout the state, and also some really good largemouth bass fishing. This is, you know, one place where we might fall short of Texas and Mississippi and places like that is our state record is 16 pounds. Let me tell you a funny story about that. 16.2, a couple of years ago, a guy broke that. And so when I called the dude up to get the story, his whereabouts were very sketchy.
I see.
So what I've discovered was that he was currently in jail.
Oh, boy.
For, you know, among other things, he caught that fish without the benefit of fishing with a license. He didn't have a fishing license.
Oh, boy.
And a number of other things went wrong with that. His fish was disqualified, and our record still is 16-2. But we do have very good bass fishing here.
That is a good story. One other thing we ought to mention, and it's not fishing or hunting related, but it's a recent news story. You actually have a state park in Arkansas where folks can go look for diamonds. And recently, an Arkansas resident went there and found a 9-carat diamond and got to take it home with them.
Oh, yeah, you can keep that. That's Crater of Diamonds State Park down in Murfreesboro, Arkansas, which is also very close to the home of the great legendary Glenn Campbell, who passed away recently, but, you know, great musician, songwriter, performer.
Right.
But yeah, you can go to Crater of Diamonds today, the night after, or the morning after a big rain would be a great time. You can go down there with all your shovels and your buckets and your sisters and dig around and look for diamonds. And if you find one, it's yours. And there was a lady that I think it was the 9-carat. It might have been a bigger one a couple of years ago where she found that thing and got hooked up with a local gemologist who got with a world-renowned cutter in Dallas and cut the stone. And I think she ended up selling that for like $77,000.
Oh, my gosh.
A day trip just to a state park turns into a $77,000 paycheck. That is amazing.
Yeah, and I think entry fee to the park is like $10 or something like that. It's not very much.
Wow.
And there are people that come around and they spend all summer long down there. They put up their little canopies and they dig around all summer long. But yeah, just walking around. And most of the people find them just walking around, looking on the ground, finding them on the surface.
I think that's exactly how this latest person found his. We have got to go, but I'll tell you what, Brian, you do make a very compelling argument as to why Arkansas, the natural state, should be considered the outdoors capital of the world. If folks want to follow your column in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, what's the website they should go to, and how often does your column come out?
I come out on Thursdays, and I come out on Sundays, and then I also have a feature on both days with photography and all that. Now, ArkansasOnline.com, that's a paywall. Quite often I will, you know, repost my stuff on my own Facebook page, you know, Brian Hendricks on Facebook, and do a search, Brian Hendricks and Democrat Gazette, and that'll take you to it, and you can read it that way. I mean, I could go on for probably another hour about all the things that would validate that claim. If we had salt water, man, we'd have it licked. That's all I can say.
Well, we'll have to leave it at that, and who knows? Maybe the way climate change is going, you might just get salt water one of these days. In the meantime, folks,
if we keep having enough hurricanes, it'll wash everything south of us away. We'll be there.
I'm not even going to go there today. I will say this, though, folks. ArkansasOnline.com, that's the website for the Arkansas Democrat Cassette, and you can always follow Brian Hendricks on Facebook. Just look up Brian Hendricks and Arkansas Democrat Cassette. You'll find that, and you can read his column there, too. Brian, always a pleasure to catch up with you on America Outdoors Radio.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure, John, and maybe we can get together and catch another marlin sometime.
Absolutely.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
The election is over, and this is not another political ad. But with a change in president, there is uncertainty. Uncertainty in the market. Will it be up or will it be down? Uncertainty on how the new administration will handle taxes for your retirement. A new report states that the Biden administration may take away key tax benefits to traditional retirement plans. But what if there was a better way? A way to save for retirement tax-free? We can help business owners, freelancers, and regular working folks get on track with their retirement without risk and without taxes. For more information, get your no-cost, tax-free retirement income strategy guide now by calling 888-585-1615. That's 888-585-1615. Find out how sound investment principles can give you a retirement where you eliminate the spend down of your savings and create more income for your retirement tax-free. Call today and get the free guide, 888-585-1615. That's 888-585-1615. Call now, 888-585-1615.
Shiloh Inns are open and ready to welcome you back. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. While we practice social distancing, we're still always committed to providing clean, safe, comfortable rooms and friendly service. Shiloh hotel guests and employees deserve the peace of mind knowing that we are always focused on maintaining high standards of cleaning and safety practices. Our American spirit is alive and strong, and while we're all going through these unprecedented historical times, we can face these challenges together. Although we may wear face masks, there are no restrictions on still making travel memories for business or pleasure. So book your next stay with confidence by calling 1-800-222-2244. Or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence, American family owned and proud of it.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio, and we've got an interview we recorded last year just before Mother's Day at the height of the coronavirus pandemic. Next up, it is Mother's Day weekend, and I hope you are doing something for your mom. Now, you might be at a disadvantage this year because a lot of the normal stores that you would shop at for mom are closed, and certainly just about all the restaurants around the nation are closed too, so you can't take her out to brunch, but you can always make her a brunch. And if you're an outdoors enthusiast, a hunter, or a fisherman, we've got just the person to help you make a wild brunch. That would be Scott Laseth. He is the Sporting Chef. His show airs Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sportsman's Channel. He also is the host of Dead Meat, which also airs on the Sportsman's Channel, and he is a longtime brand ambassador for our friends at Camp Chef and at WorkSharp. Scott, it is great to have you on the air again.
Good to be here, and we got mom covered. Those of us who hunt and fish, we've got stuff in the freezer, right?
We certainly do, though because of the quarantine, I don't know about you, my freezer is getting a lot emptier than it normally is this time of year.
Well, I told my wife by the end of the summer, we may have to start eating a few frog legs, but other than that, I think I'm okay.
Well, you had a great segment called The Wild Brunch, and it was actually a takeoff on one of my favorite Old West movies, The Wild Bunch. But with Mother's Day here, I thought this would be a great time to talk about making your mom a brunch. Why don't you take us through a couple of the recipes and ideas that you shared with listeners on the air?
You know, for the first thing that I do, I look for these random pieces of fish. Let's say you've just got like a half a pound of halibut and maybe a little salmon. I like to make fish cakes out of that, and it makes it kind of interesting if you have different kinds of fish in there. So the most important thing when you're thawing out that fish that you're digging around your freezer is if it's freezer burnt, you can cut the freezer burnt part off. If it's completely freezer burnt, don't serve it to mom. But I want you, once it's thawed, you'll notice in those packets that you froze them in, there wasn't any fish juice in there when you froze it. But when you thaw it, it's got all this pink, funky fish juice in there. So make sure that you get your fish super, super, super dry. Wrap it in 2-ply paper towels. Give it a squeeze and wick as much of that moisture out of it as you can. Break it up. Throw it into a bowl. Put a little egg, mayonnaise, a little bit of breadcrumb, some of your favorite seasoning. Big squeeze of lemon, and then you want it, you're going to be making fish cakes, just like a crab cake, and you want it to be a little bit more moist than what you may be used to for a crab cake. And if you pop it down and brown it on one side into a skillet with a little olive oil and butter, flip it over on the other side, get it lightly browned, pop it into a 350-degree oven for about 3 minutes while you're finishing making your hollandaise. And the hollandaise you can make in a blender. It is so incredibly easy. And that's, hollandaise scares a lot of people off because they've had tried to make hollandaise and it breaks. In your blender, put in 3 egg yolks, a half teaspoon of Dijon mustard, a little splash of lemon juice, and let that process. And while that's processing, take a cup of butter, melted butter. You can just take a cup of butter, melt it in the microwave so that it's nice and hot and bubbly. While the motor's running, you drizzle in a few drops just to set the egg yolks, and then a little thin, steady stream with all of that butter. You have instant hollandaise that doesn't break. You can just leave it at room temperature. You can just warm it up a little bit in a pot before you serve it. That on top of your fish cakes, I guarantee your mom will love.
Not just mom. I think everybody's going to love that. So, folks, this one works for Father's Day, too. Something else you talked about was wild game sausage and incorporating that into a brunch or breakfast meal.
Easy enough to do. Let's say you got a couple of duck breasts, antlered game parts, whatever it is. Run it through a grinder and I like to use pork shoulder for fat. You can just throw in some ground pork. You can throw in some bacon ends and pieces, but you need to add some fat to it. And there are some great sausage kits. High Mountain Seasoning makes some great sausage kits. Or you can just use any basic breakfast sausage seasoning, and you just turn it into a patty. If you don't have a grinder, just cut it up into about 1 to 2 inch pieces and pulse it in a food processor. But be careful. You don't want to turn it into meat pudding. Just pulse it so it's a little bit chunky. Same kind of deal. Just form it into patties. You don't need any special equipment, and it's going to taste just like any other breakfast sausage.
Ugh. Absolutely love it. Shifting gears really quick. We both are big fans of WorkSharp. I'm guessing you've got one of their knife sharpeners in your kitchen. Which one is it?
I've got the Ken Onion. The Ken Onion does absolutely everything. And as a matter of fact, I'm the cooking editor for Ducks Unlimited magazine, and we just shot a big feature yesterday. And the first thing I did was I sat down with my Ken Onion sharpener and sharpened every knife in my drawer and in my knife block, because that's the kind of thing you can do when you're at home stuck with the coronavirus and not able to travel. Sharpen every knife you have.
And then do it again and again and again. I get it. Folks, the Ken Onion sharpener is like the Cadillac of knife sharpeners from WorkSharp. Myself, I've got the electric combo sharpener. It doesn't quite have all the bells and whistles, but is also a great tool for your kitchen. And if you want to check out more of what WorkSharp has, go to their website. It's WorkSharpTools.com, and your kitchen will have the sharpest knives in town. Scott, love these great ideas for Mother's Day brunch, Father's Day brunch, and beyond. Do stay well, and I look forward to seeing your shows on the Sportsman's Channel this spring, summer, and through the fall.
Very good, John. We'll do it again.
I'd like to remind you again about the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show combined with the Portland Boat Show that's going on this weekend at the Expo Center in Portland, Oregon. It is the largest sportsman show taking place in the entire nation this season. They're expecting some 35,000 attendees. That's definitely about half of what's normal, but that's the way things are as we recover from COVID. Now, there's going to be hundreds of exhibitors there. There's going to be lots of boats for sale, lots of RVs, and lots of chances to book adventures and get great deals, and you'll definitely want to stop by our Northwestern Outdoors Radio and America Outdoors Radio booth. We're in booth number 1324, because when you do, we're giving away some swag from Camp Chef and from some of our other sponsors, and we're giving you the chance to win a .22 caliber Henry Golden Boy lever action rifle. It's made in America, looks absolutely beautiful. All you have to do is text the word Henry to the number that we've got posted there for a chance to win. We're giving that rifle away at the end of the weekend, at the end of the show. Now, I've been getting emails over the last couple of weeks from listeners as far away as Tennessee and Missoula, Montana, saying, hey, I want a chance to win this rifle, but I can't make it out to Portland, Oregon for the show. So you know what? We're going to give you that chance. I'm going to give you the number to text. It is 33777. Again, text the word Henry to 33777 for a chance to win this .22 caliber Henry Repeating Arms Golden Boy lever action rifle. They're just going to ask you a couple quick questions to include your email, make sure you're eligible to possess a firearm, and that's it. You are entered. And one person, like I said, at the end of the weekend, is going to win this rifle. Doesn't cost you a thing to enter. You only get to enter once, but it doesn't cost you a thing to enter, except for any normal text and data charges that your phone plan may have for you. All right, before we go, I've got one more fish story for you. It's from the Grand Forks Herald, and we learned there's a new pending state record walleye in North Dakota. It was caught by an avid walleye angler who's been looking for a trophy like this for a long time. The angler in question is Jared Shiposky, and he's fished everywhere from the Columbia River in the Pacific Northwest to the Great Lakes in the Midwest looking for a true wall hanger. But the place he finally found it was just a couple of hours away from his home of Dickinson, North Dakota. Shiposky was fishing the Cannonball area of the Missouri River south of Bismarck on March 13th, trolling a crankbait as the sun set on the day when he hooked into a monster marble eye. According to Shiposky, I knew it was big because I could hardly reel on it at all. Shiposky continued saying, I had the drag set where I could reel on it, and it was taking drag. And then it popped to the surface, and I could see it was pretty big. That big walleye measured 33 inches long. It weighed 16.39 pounds on a certified scale. a weigh-in that was witnessed by a state game warden. That beats the previous 15-pound, 13-ounce walleye caught in 2018, also out of the Missouri River, south of Bismarck. Now, it's just a little bit of a wait until the record becomes official, but in the meantime, I think there's a whole bunch of us wanting to say, congrats, Jared, mission accomplished. If that doesn't make you want to go fishing, I don't know what does. So maybe it's time to pick up that rod and reel and head out there. Or maybe it's time to pick up a turkey call and do some scouting, see if you can find some of those turkeys for opening day. Or maybe it's just time to go to the range like I did with my Henry Long Ranger rifle the other day and get it sighted in. Whatever you do, I do hope you are blessed in the days ahead, that you stay healthy, and do remember this. It is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.